Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1999, with a release date of Friday, February 19th, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Orlando Hamcation is over, but hams are still talking about it. A club in Minnesota activates a frozen lake. Yes, a very icy one. Ohio hams open state borders for Antenna Day. And a mock earthquake shakes things up in Utah. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1999, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here is Jim Damron in 8TMW.
We begin this week's newscast with a look back at this month's Orlando Hamcation, the second largest gathering of amateurs after Dayton Hamvention. It wasn't just the 70th such Hamcation, it was also the 2016 ARRL National Convention. And it was so much more, as we hear now from Amateur Radio Newsline's Gordon West, WB6NOA, who clearly had a great time.
Wow, what a show. The 70th Orlando Hamcation tied into the 2016 ARRL National Convention in Orlando, Florida. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 15,000 hams enjoyed wonderful weather there at the Central Florida Fairgrounds. Hundreds of acres and a huge lake for hams to find anything and everything. We started off Friday with the Instructor Academy on Friday morning, then Carol Perry with her youth forum sponsored by the Radio Club of America, along with help from QCWA. Ladies, they had plenty of forums, plus the YLRLs. The Worldwide Repeater Directory is now part of the ARRL, and that was a good deal. And wow, everywhere you looked, hex beams. That's right. The hex wire beams were everywhere. The Disney Emergency Amateur Radio Service van was in full swing. Inside at three exhibit halls, 140 commercial vendors at Hamcation, 40 forums, VE testing, hourly prizes, I like this, that you could see on a smartphone with the right program. Of course, the national parks on the air, Coast Guard Auxiliary was there. We met the new president, Rick Roderick, K5UR, on scene, greeting everyone there at the huge ARRL booth that included lab testing of handhelds, public service display, amateur radio parody, ACT info, DXCC card checking. Of course, that Wufong that evening, QSL Bureau on scene, and the Southeastern Division, all of the top brass was there, with Dave K1ZZ at the ARRL banquet on Saturday night. So it was a success, let me tell you, huge affair, the 70th annual Orlando Hamcation. And this is Gordon West, WB6NOA for Newsline.
Thanks, Gordon. Of course, if you prefer being somewhere a little bit cooler than sunny Florida, consider the spot chosen by hams during the recent long President's Day weekend. It was a frozen lake in frozen Minnesota. Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, breaks the ice with that hearty bunch.
If you tuned across the HF bands this past weekend, you might have run into this.
CQ Special Event, this is Whiskey Zero Juliet Hotel, W0JH. We are a special event station operating from frozen Lake Elmo, east of St. Paul, Minnesota.
That's the Stillwater, Minnesota Amateur Radio Association Special Events Ice Station, W0JH. Dave Glass, W0OXB, stepped inside to warm up. That's when Newsline asked him where this all started.
About 10 years ago, we went up to Lake Mille Lacs. We knew somebody who had an ice fishing shack, and we operated at about minus 25 degrees F outside, putting up antennas, freezing our butts off, and we operated from this little 10 by 10 ice fishing shack.
They've operated on several different frozen Minnesota lakes over the years, finally ending up on a St. Paul suburban lake.
This year, one of our members who has property on Lake Elmo said, well, why don't you come over here? And we thought, well, good grief, it's almost metropolitan. You know, Lake Elmo is 10 miles from St. Paul. We thought about it. We said, well, why not? Because it gives access to people right around the area.
Glass explains what they did to set up their ice station.
We put our antennas normally on the shore, in the trees on the shore, and then we run our feed line to the lake.
Some hams making contact with the ice station just can't get their heads around what's happening on Lake Elmo.
You know, we get some of the darndest comments. People just in the southern part of the country who've never been around ice unless it's in their freezer, they don't realize that why you would even be out there fishing if there was ice. So the one guy, he's taking this in, he's from Florida, and he says, well, I understand everything, but how do you get the boat in the water? That just cracked us up. I mean, you know, obviously we're not cutting a hole in the lake to get a boat in the water.
The Stillwater Amateur Radio Association has a website detailing their various special event stations as well as other club activities at radioham.org. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, in the iced-over Twin Cities of Minnesota.
Moving on to Ohio, there's something decidedly different about this year's Antenna Day there, and organizers are hoping for far-reaching results. Amateur Radio Newsline Stephen Kinford, N8WB, explains.
The Near Vertical Incident SkyWave Antenna Day in Ohio isn't necessarily just an Ohio event anymore. ARL's Ohio Section Emergency Coordinator Stan Broadway, N8BHL, wants the April 23rd Aries event opened up to include stations in neighboring states. He's also hoping to set up anchor stations around Ohio so consistent signal reports can be offered to others participating in the public safety prep exercise. Broadway explained that Antenna Day is more of a research exercise than a contest. Last year's event attracted a number of operators and EOCs, working to establish which NVIS antennas were the best to use for emergency communications. This year's event begins at 1500 UTC on April 23rd, allowing teams to contact one another and compare the performance of their antennas. At the conclusion of the event, participants will file reports with call signs, location, operators, number of contacts, and all antenna design and deployment details. Broadway said, quote, we would really like to make this a regional event in 2016 with stations in their states, EOCs, and around Ohio's border to test their own capabilities, end quote. NVIS antennas are growing in popularity for emergency regional communication because of their close-up radiation patterns on HF. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
The amateur radio community is mourning the death of David LeFevre, W7GOX of Las Lunas, New Mexico, who was a member of the Hurricane Watch Net for more than 20 years and who served as its net manager between 2006 and 2009. He had also served as a net controller for the Maritime Mobile Service Network. In 2013, he was given the status of receiving manager emeritus for the Hurricane Watch Net. The net manager, Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, credited him for his effective leadership on the air. He said, Dave was one of the few I've met who had a very calming and reassuring voice during any emergency situation. The former Navy fighter pilot was 82 at the time he became a silent key on February 8th. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the 16 repeaters of the Peak Radio Association, serving Western Oregon's My513 net. It's no secret that sometimes being a ham brings out the very best in a person. We hear now about an amateur from Spain who's being recognized for being the very best that he can be, as both a ham and a humanitarian. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the eyes of the ARRL, Antonio González, EA5RM, isn't just a noted DXer, but a very notable humanitarian. So when it was time for the ARRL Programs and Services Committee to recommend someone for the League's 2015 International Humanitarian Award, there was no question the panel would put González's name in for consideration before the Board of Directors. Señor González was originally nominated by Paul Ewing, N6PSE, president of the Intrepid DX Group. Ewing wrote this about Gonzalez, quote, "He is a devoted family man and public servant in Spain. He is a keen DXer and he regularly organises the expeditions to remote and rare places. Antonio plays for all of this travel from Spain to Bolivia," end quote. Señor Gonzalez, who has been a volunteer with Radio Amateurs Without Borders, helping them build, test and maintain solar power HF amateur radio equipment in the remotest spots in Bolivia since 2007. He has also visited the Bolivian Amazon 6 times, supporting the introduction of medical assistance and sanitation facilities. The well-known DXer has served as chief pilot station for the VP8 STI stroke VP8 SGI de-expedition to South Sandwich and South Georgia. The award is considered a recognition of a radio amateur's efforts to help the welfare of others. Upon learning he would receive the award, Señor Gonzalez was quoted simply as saying, "What a surprise." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci, 4NJH in Nottingham, in the UK.
The only thing real about the earthquake in Utah earlier this month was the response it got from hams and other emergency team members. But that's what made the mock drill such a success. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bobby Best, WX4ALA, has this report.
For more than just a moment, no one had trouble believing that an earthquake with a magnitude of 7.7 had just rocked Cedar City, Utah. Responders from Iron County Emergency Management joined the Utah National Guard 213th Forward Support Company, Area Fire and Police Departments, and radio amateurs at various locations in distress. And on Wednesday, February 3rd, the scene was set. But it was only a scene. After all, it was a mock 3-day drill called Operation Seismos that was designed to test emergency response. As various responders turned up, so too did some 160 members of the Rainbow Canyons Amateur Radio Club, ready to relay messages from the scene of the fictional disaster. The interstate was to have buckled in 2 spots, a fire station was to have collapsed, and building fires were scattered throughout the area. Don Blanchard, WA7GTU of the Rainbow Canyons Amateur Radio Club, said in news reports that the club's teams gave damage assessments from various simulated problem sites, reporting some of their findings by voice, others by digital mode, entering the details directly into the necessary government forms by email. Emergency Management Coordinator John Hiley called the hams' use of digital communications via email groundbreaking. He told the St. George, Utah News, "We are doing things not done elsewhere in the world as far as communications with our ham radio operators. We are not just practicing voice communication, but they are using digital communications." He said this was the first time the technique was used in an emergency simulation setting, but it won't be the last. Another drill is set for March. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
The central coast of Australia is having a field day, or rather the hams there are. It's set for Sunday, February 28, 2016, at the Wyong Racecourse in New South Wales, and is considered one of the major gatherings of radio amateurs in Australia, offering seminars, workshops, and, of course, license assessments for all amateur grades. The all-important foundation license class itself will be held the day before on Saturday the 27th. Seminars are being held on the first floor of the main building at the racecourse, covering a range of topics from power supplies to de-expeditions. Admission is $15 for all amateurs older than 17. No admission is charged for hams younger than 17. For more details, visit the website www.fieldday.org.au. Speaking of hams in Australia, the Wireless Institute of Australia wants to see and hear more of them. Lots more of them. So it's been busy attracting new and returning licensees by sending out a message that says, at least in spirit, "You can run, but you cannot hide." Here's more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Once a ham, always a ham, right? Well, the WIA, the Wireless Institute of Australia, believes this is true and has been casting a wide net to encourage and attract radio returnees, people that they're calling lapsed radio amateurs. In a way, the WIA is calling CQ. And yes, that call is being heard. Former licensees are finding their way back home to the bands as the WIA reports that it has seen in recent months what it's deemed a small avalanche of call sign recommendations from returnees. But that hasn't stopped the WIA from calling. Its awareness campaign has touched the very young and those much, much older, from the schools and professional organisations to the grey nomads as they hit the open road in search of adventure on the vast Australian landscape. The WIA has also received publicity in the Rotary and Lions magazines, as well as newsletters of the Returned and Services League of Australia. In short, the WIA wants hopeful hams and returnees to know it's never too late to get a licence and start calling CQ themselves. You never know who'll answer. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Australia isn't the only country hoping to bring more amateurs onto the air. In India, the Indian Institute of Hams has likewise begun an awareness campaign that reaches out specifically to youngsters in the port city of Mangaluru in the Indian state of Karnataka. The Institute's director, S. Satyapol, said that it makes sense to have more active radio amateurs in a coastal location such as this, which is vulnerable to flooding and other disastrous conditions. He said only 100 hams are registered in Mangaluru, and of those, only 30 radio amateurs are considered active. Even though disaster communication is a priority, the Institute is stressing among young recruits radio's opportunities for global friendship and communication, as well as learning technical skills. In India, youngsters 12 and older are eligible to become licensed amateurs. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W8GK repeater in Charleston, West Virginia. The Italian de-expedition team is operating as 3XY1T from Loss Island off the coast of Guinea in West Africa until March 4th. They are on all bands 160 meters to 6 meters on SSB, CW, and RTTY. A team of 9 operators from North America is active as A35T from the island of Tonga until February 28th. QSLs are being handled by M0URX. A number of stateside operators will be operating from Guantanamo Bay, starting Friday, February 19th through March the 4th. Look for the call signs KG4BP, KG4EU, KG4HF, KG4HP, and KG4WV. In March, start looking for Don, VE7AQA, who will be calling as E51AQA from Rarotonga Island. He'll be on the air between March 4th and March 19th, working holiday style on the HF bands using SSB. Send QSLs via VE7AQA. And finally, looking at the noted Daytona 500 race on Sunday, February 21st in Florida, let's keep in mind a few basic things. Speed is good. Awards are prestigious. And pileups are very, very bad. By the way, we're not talking about the race itself here, or even the race car drivers, but the special event amateur radio station commemorating the 58th such race. The Daytona Beach Community Emergency Response Team Amateur Radio Team, N4DAB, took to the air with pride from February 17th to be working right up through the race day on February 21st. For the third such event, the club showed the same pride it's always had, whether providing backup communications during special events or helping out during natural disasters. The club is still a month away from its next special event, activating the Canaveral National Seashore on Saturday, March 19th for National Parks on the Air. No, they're not quite ready to look skyward yet because race cars and more terrestrial competitions are on their minds. So this month, it's all about the phrase, "Gentlemen, start your engines," or rather, OMs and YLs, Fire up your rigs. Yes, speed does count, and those pileups should be avoided at all costs. With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, the Bryan College Station Eagle, Central Coast Amateur Radio Club, the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, CQ Magazine, Daytona Beach Community Emergency Response Team Amateur Radio Team, DX.net, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Stillwater Amateur Radio Association, the Times of India, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Twit TV, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016, all rights reserved.